Had a few events really focused on developing our relationships, mother-daughter, father-son, and our community a little bit, and we're going to have some pre-cooked share about that, and I'll give a little talk to kind of wrap it up. So, like Pastor Ross said, a little more relaxed than normal, so it's a good thing, and it's a great Sunday to worship together, really focus on what God's doing and how he works in our families and through us to make our families better. So, let me read the very brief scripture that you probably guys know very well. It's always good to hear again. So this is Colossians 3, verse 20 and 21. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So very simple, but very short. Let me pray for us, and then we'll get into the testimonies and share. Heavenly Father, come. Really speak to us, God. We know that you have given us great, great beauty and great, great insight through Scripture. May you lighten the words that those that are sharing are going to speak so that we can find great truth in them. Through me, God, may you come and really bless the words. Through the fumbling, through the maybe chaotic thoughts, may you still speak clearly and have great things to take away that we can apply to our hearts, to our lives, to our relationships. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So, one of the things we've done recently to develop families is to have these great sleepover events. So, Ross alluded to this earlier. We just had one on Friday night for the men. It was a fantastic time for us to gather as boys. We got to eat food without utensils. It was great. Played a lot of games. Someone got hurt. It was really good, right? Anytime guys play, it's not really a game until someone's either bruised or bleeding. So, we had that covered. So, the ladies also had a great event about a month ago, maybe a little more, and they had a lady sleepover to share, to bond, to really focus on who they are in Christ. So, we wanted to invite Margaret and Madeline to come up and share a little bit about what they experienced, both topic-wise, but kind of what was special to them as well. All right.
Hello. Nice to Madeline's a little shy. So I wanted to give you kind of some highlights of just some major points and major things that stood out to Madeline and I during the weekend. I first want to thank Kaylin for preparing her home and allowing us to use her place. Thank you very much, Anne. Especially like week after surgery, 2 weeks after surgery. And then I also want to thank Christy and Robin for putting everything together. It was really special, and Madeline and I had a wonderful time. But I asked Madeline, I was like, Madeline, what was the main thought that you came away with that weekend? And she said, God girls. And I thought that was perfect. I thought that explained exactly what the message was, that we all want to be girls and women of God. So one of the first big things that I wanted to read was just one of the main points was that God sees us all as women as beautiful. We're told many different things through society and culture that we're supposed to look a certain way, we're supposed to act a certain way, we're supposed to be this height, we're supposed to have this kind of hair, we're supposed to... But that's not God's definition of what success and beauty is. Can't you imagine that definition by Trish Randall? So, they can come up here and help Madeline hold this poster, which kind of exemplifies one thing we talked about was how many times a day do we look in a mirror? And so often that mirror is what we see is compared to what people tell us and what we're supposed to fit into some sort of norm, but that's not what God tells us. So that was a main point, and we shared a little bit. We shared a little bit about things we like about we don't like about ourselves, and why we don't like those things. But Scripture tells us, in Psalm 139:14, that we talked about. So we passed out verses and talked about these verses as a group and shared why that's correct and not what the world tells us is correct. And one of those psalms was, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. And then the other one was Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything beautiful in its time, and he has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done. He has made beautiful everything in its time. a very, very key thought there. When I started preparing what I wanted to say, that we're all special and beautiful in God's eyes, this book came to mind. I don't know if y'all have read it, but Madeline, I know you want to rush the slideshow. What does that say? Do you remember? Designed by God, so I must be special. And I just want to read the last page to this because I think it was very key to what we talked about. God gave me my spirit so that I could know He's always beside me every place that I go, to love, to protect me, to show me the way, to be there in hard times as well as each day. He's designed me with special talents, gifts, and abilities, you see, which let me know that He has something special in mind for me. God made me special. So as women and as men, but we kind of focus more on the women's side of things, we're all special with different gifts and abilities. And that was one key thing. And Madeline brought that out, the concept of the second, that point. I asked her, I said, what are three key things you remember? Do you remember what you said? And she did that. We are all different, and it is okay. That was her first thought, that she came up all on her own, that she came away with that weekend. And then the second one was, that's right. Girls follow God. I thought that was, she summed up these points much better than I ever could. And the last one.
To love God.
Yep. So those are the three things that stood out in Madeline's mind. And I did not say that at all. I just helped write them down for her so she could remember. And then we want to talk a little bit about her favorite activities, because the activities were amazing. And over and over, the biggest sounding one for her was what? Which one do you remember? Lip singing battle. And she's been singing those songs. So we had a lip singing battle where they did some of the older ladies did the motions, the backup dancers, the kids, lip singers, and that was a big one. And then she also said the sleeping together, or the togetherness. And so that was my second main point that I came away with, was that we all need godly women in our lives to keep us strong, draw us closer, and to keep us accountable. And how important those, I'm focusing on the women, I'm not trying to exclude the men, but it was a women's night. So when I say women, I know it's important for men too, but just how important those godly women relationships are in our lives, and that togetherness. So that was another key point of just how important that fellowship was. We did not want to pick up on that as well. So, and then the last thing that she really loved, you want to say it? Miss Randall's amazing makeover. Randall had an amazing it was Miss Randall making herself up, but she had some assistance that was hidden behind her. So, as you saw from the picture, it ended up being a glorious makeup. And Madeline loved that part too. And then one last key thing was that again, we're told so many different things, but as we're reading, the gospel is the one true word that was. The gospel is our truth, and that's what we need to continually go back for our answers of how we are supposed to become those godly women, and that we need to be in the scriptures and in the word and know the word to connect with God and be those godly women. And the verse that we talked about for that was one of them was Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We always need to be going back to God's thought, and then whispering, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And that's Philippians 4:8. And we need to stay grounded in the gospel for those things. So, those were the major highlights for Madeline and I, and I just want to thank you guys again. But on that note, I want to announce to everybody, on September 16th, we're starting the Women's Bible Study again. It's on Wednesday mornings. Christy and I are, we co-lead the Women's Bible Study. This year, we're actually going to do it at the church from 9:30 to 11:30. So, and if you're interested, you can contact me or Christy. If you need childcare, please let me know, because we'll need to set up childcare. At this point, we don't have anything, so we would need to try to find childcare for that. But we'd love any woman to come. Anyone is welcome, and we'd love to see you there. And I will be around after service, and I can give you my contact information. Thank you.
Thank you, Madeline and Margaret. So, the guys also had our great day, as we talked about, and we're going to have Jonathan Owens and Peter Musser kind of share a little bit. So Peter, I was going to ask you a few questions to kind of help you kind of go through this. So, what did we talk about on Friday night? What was the main point?
So, we talked about how our job is not who we are, neither is our name. Our job and our name are just small parts of it. It's a lot more to us. That it's a lot more who we are than what our name and job is.
Just what we do. Yeah, very good. So what's the most important thing, though, that defines who we are? What do we talk about that?
The most important thing is that we're all brothers in Christ.
Right. So do we have to do things alone, or are we kind of part of a group? What do we call a group on Friday night, remember?
And we're all
a tribe, right? Yeah. We talked about the idea of a tribe, right? We rely on each other. And that's the thing that really binds us together as a tribe, as our brothers in Christ, right? Not just what we do, because we have some very different people doing lots of different things. So, Saturday morning, what then did we talk about Saturday morning?
And we talked about, so Mr. Bob came and taught us how to tie knots. And so we talked about how the story of Paul, when the city was surrounded by rolling guards, and so he got out through a window, and if they didn't tie the knot correctly, Paul would fall out and get caught by the Roman guards.
Yeah, so it was really important. And then did we also talk about what was kind of special about a rope that has three parts? What do we talk about? Why is that important?
It's kind of like us when we're alone, we're really weak, but with our other brothers in Christ and God together, we're very strong.
Right, so we make three strands, and that verse in the Bible, three strands is not quickly broken. So we talked about how the rope works that way too. So, great. What was your favorite thing the whole time that we did?
I really like playing the games.
The games. That's awesome. Very good. All right. Let's sit down. Let's Jonathan, share with these guys.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jonathan. My wife, Lindsay, and my son, Reese, and Harper, just for 4 weeks, but she was inside the stomach, so that hurts. So we've been visiting here and united in membership in the future, and we've been going here for about 5 months now. And so I will tell you in regards to this camping trip, initially, I was not going to bring Reese. That was my initial plan. I thought, he's only five. I don't like camping. I am not built for adversity. And so camping involves sleeping outside, being sticky and sweaty, and that just isn't me. And so, like, booking a hotel room and pitching a tent, two different things. So I think Keith built his tent that was, like, this big, and, like, the same amount of time I built the tent that was like this big. And so there was just a lot of things going on there. But as we started talking about the event, we started talking about the purpose behind it. The purpose was to get, as fathers, involved in the lives of others and then have other men in the church be involved in Reese's life. I realized that this was more important than me. And so instead of projecting my own insecurities about being in the outdoors and being athletic and getting involved in the, you know, those kind of
a lot of good that did for me.
but it made Reese feel better about his little scratch. But it was important that I wanted to include him in that. And so obviously Lindsay was a part of that encouragement too. But it was neat because I saw that purpose really played out throughout the event. There were times, obviously, where my son did fall and cry, and he was trying to understand what was going on, and he's still five, so he's still just trying to, he's up until now an only child, so he's used to things going his way, and learning that that happened, and it was an amazing event because there were other men who were able to step in and kind of help in and step in and say things to him and help him understand kind of what was going on around him. And so that was amazing to me. And at one point before the games, we started painting the kids' faces, and everybody got their face painted. Does anybody remember their name? What's that?
My name. So I see different names.
Just one.
Okay, the one that my last name, that was the one that I kept for the longest, was Big Bad Ironclad.
Austin Strong, I named him. Some paint was better than others, and not better, but more elaborate. I just kind of gave Andy a mustache, you know, for his. That talk about identity really impacted me more than I thought it would. You can think these events are just for the little boys, but they weren't. They were for me as well. I got a lot out of it. We started talking about identity, and as I transitioned careers from one job to a new job, I knew in my last role, a lot of my identity was wrapped in running a store and being that person, and understanding that even in my new role or in jobs ahead, that those aren't the things that I'm going to be useful for in an internal significance standpoint, that it's being a husband and a father. And so I thank you all as men for being there for me for the past couple months and being there for Reese this past weekend. It was an amazing thing, because I think that as Reese goes into be a teenager and as he becomes a man, I think my perception when I first became a dad was that he's my responsibility only. And so I don't think that that's Christian community. I think understanding that when we surrender our children to God, when we surrender them to Him and say, He's yours, God, that means allowing other men to step in at times and help each other raise men. So I thank you for this weekend.
Awesome. Thank you, Margaret. Thank you, Jonathan. That is fantastic. And it really sets us up well for kind of where we want to focus on for the passage. We want to look at how do we function as a family. And I love that we've defined family as not being only the kids I have and my role as parents. I can tell you one of my favorite moments of the whole weekend. I hope I won't embarrass him when I share this, but we have a really special little kid that we, as a church, have a relationship. His name's Gonzalo. And if you guys know Gonzalo, who comes to Kids Night Out, little ball of energy, 5 years old, doesn't have a father figure. My favorite event, my favorite moment of the whole weekend, was he was in Troy's lap, sitting around the campfire at 9 o'clock at night, just happy, secure, contented. That was just a special moment that, when we talk about who we love and who we're meant to raise and care for, it's not even about the kids in the room, not even about our kids only. But God calls us to care for the fatherless, and that we as a church are even trying to do that as well. So, really special event. So let me jump in a little bit here. Kids, have you ever had a time when someone has asked you to do something that you did not understand? And you said, that is a crazy thing. Right, David, you've had that? Yeah. It's been like, this doesn't make any sense to me, why I should do this. And it kind of reminds me of a story that I heard once about a boy in Australia. So he was out playing in his yard, and his dad was out in the yard with him. Suddenly his dad goes, and we'll just make his name Billy. He said, Billy, I want you to get on your knees right now. Everybody's like, what? That makes no sense. So he got on his knees. He goes, okay, get down on your hands and knees now, and I want you to crawl to me. His dad was like all the way across the yard. Like, what? This made no sense at all. But Billy, being the obedient kid he did, he went ahead and crawled to his dad. And when he got to his dad, he stood up, and he turned around, and his dad pointed at a venomous snake that was hanging from the branch above where he had just been. So now that he understood the why, suddenly what he was being asked to do made a lot more sense, a lot more context. So I think sometimes we have hard things that we need to do. It's really good to understand the why. And thankfully, in the passage we have today, God's given us the whys right there, coupled with the hard command that's been given. So we're going to try to break that out a little bit. Look at, kids, what you're being asked to do in obeying and why you're asked to do it. Parents, and not just parents, but all of us as adults caring for the kids in our community, what are we asked to do and why do we need to do it? So that's kind of what we're going to look at today. Before I jump even into that, let me just set a little context around where these passages lie. So in Colossians 3, we start out at a very, very high level. In fact, I'd say at the highest level. We actually say, verses 1 and 2 say this: "If then you've been raised with Christ, seeking the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." Right? And so, he goes on, Paul says, "Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." So as we look at these passages and these two commands that were given, I think that's really important context that we have to have. That we're not just looking at this at an earthly context. We need to be applying the gospel-centered context of the ultimate level to try to really understand the whys a little deeper. All right. So, kids, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Now, I'm not going to go into the obey part. That seems fairly obvious, hopefully for you. So, I want to dive into the why. Why should you guys obey your parents? Right? Listening to them could be that it just makes your parents' life easier, right? But that's really not the reason to follow through with God's command, right? That's an earthly sort of thing. But if we take it kind of a little deeper to look at the gospel context, Christ Jesus context of why you should be listening to your parents and not just to make them happy, I think there's two things that come out. One is right there in the text, and the other is based on looking at Jesus and God and their relationship, like Pastor Ross talked about earlier, about how they demonstrate family and the relationship. So, these two things. Number one, for this pleases the Lord. Right there in the scripture. So, put quite simply, God delights when his children follow through with his will and his commands. Do you notice that he even did that with Jesus? Right? When Jesus was baptized in Matthew 3, here's what he says. "And Jesus was baptized, immediately he got up out of the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and came to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" Right? So Jesus obeying the process of getting baptized, even though he really didn't need to be baptized, right? I don't know if you remember, there's a little argument that actually happened right before this with John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, "No, Jesus, I can't baptize you. Like, that's all out of order." But Jesus said, "No, this is us obeying God's command." And before Jesus did any of the amazing miracles that he did, before he died on the cross, before he rose again, did you see what God's interaction was with him? That he was pleased by his obedience. So that's a really big thing that we need to focus on as kids, even adult kids, when we interact with our parents, right? We want to obey because this ultimately is what pleases our Father in heaven. Okay? So, number two, as we look at Jesus, the Son, and God the Father, and their relationships, one of the most important qualities we see in this divine family of God the Father and Jesus the Son is the Son's obedience to the Father's will. Right? So again, in Jesus' life, we see him praying in the garden in Gethsemane in Luke, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me." But what does he say? "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And then Paul reiterates this later in Philippians. He says, "And being found in human form," talking about Jesus, "he humbles himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross." Isn't that amazing? That no matter what was being asked of him, Christ knew in his relationship with the Father that there was this characteristic of who Jesus was, that he was going to obey no matter what. And that is what we want to reflect. As we are followers of Jesus, and we want to follow in his path and follow his model, we want to do the same thing that he does. Relate to our earthly fathers and our earthly mothers just the same way that he relates to his heavenly Father in his obedience. So, kids, if you've said to yourself, and I know I've said this as a kid, how do I just do this whole following Jesus thing better? This one simple thing that I'd leave you with is, work on being obedient, on heeding your parents, listening to them, and not just to make them happy, but also to make God happy and to follow and be just like Jesus. It's not easy. I know it's not. But hopefully with Jesus' help, you guys can do it. All right? Very good. Let's shift gears. parents, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. I think from an earthly perspective, it's really easy to see the whys, right? Who out of us wants to have our kids be disheartened and downtrodden and sad? It's not a natural desire within us. But I think we need to, again, look at the gospel why to really dig a little deeper and have some significance to this that actually move us forward. So, those of you, some of this will be very clear. When you think about your child heading out on your own, some of us have done this very recently, right? Others of us, maybe in minor steps, have done this. When you think about that, what qualities do you want them to have? So what resources do you want them to be able to draw on as they set their lives on their own? So I'm going to draw on Dr. John Piper, who kind of walks us through the double negatives of do not and dis that are in this passage, the do not and dis, which are double negatives. And he actually turns it around and finds three positive characteristics that I think really ground us in the why, parents. We don't want to provoke. We don't want to be that iron-fisted hand on our children. So here's what Dr. John Piper says. He defines the opposites of discourage by this. He says the opposite of being discouraged is being hopeful. The opposite of being discouraged is being happy. And the opposite of being discouraged is being confident and courageous. So hopeful, happy, confident, and courageous. And now, again, he doesn't leave it right there, sort of at the earthly level, but it takes it a deeper step into the heavenly why of this. And he says, hope is not just an earthly hope, but it's the true hope of Christ that never fades, that never wavers, that we want to have our kids inherit. And the happy is not the fleeting happiness of the created things, right? The pleasure of feeling good about what you do or the way you look or what you've accomplished, but rather, it's the happiness and the really true long-suffering joy that goes beyond all circumstances. That's that second thing that we'd want to give our kids. And third is the confidence and then also the courage that goes with it that is not built on the worldly self-reliance, again, how we look, about what we do, about what we're able to accomplish, but rather it's that unshakable God confidence that comes from knowing who they are in Christ. And we've talked about that we are brothers in Christ. Margaret talked about that we are beautiful women in Christ, no matter how we look, as real concrete examples of that we've tried to live out and that we want to try to give our kids. So, I think those are the real things that ultimately want to leave our kids with as parents. And that provoking, antagonizing, really being downtrodden our kids can suppress those three things, and we don't want to do that. So, really briefly, how can we cultivate this? And I think this is probably a whole thing that we could do a whole sermon series on almost. It's so deep. But I think just this three real quick things that I think are tangible things that we as parents and we as adults in other kids' lives can take away to try to cultivate hope, happiness, and confidence in our kids. One, we can't give what we don't have. We need to know for ourselves those three attributes, and not just head-wise, but heart-wise, and be living them out, understanding how the gospel is working in our own lives, so that we have a gospel truth that we can give to our kids. Two, remind them who they are, that they are precious and special, just like that Philippians verse, to God and to everyone, every day, kind of instilling in them that they are special, they are precious. And then three, a very simple one that I know I need to work on a lot, cover them in prayer. I think that as we look at what we do as parents, we have a limited sort of scope of influence on them. Thankfully, in this community we talked about, we have this broader scope of influence that's pushing our kids towards Christ. But then we can pray, too, like the Holy Spirit is really working in their lives. So that's three practical things that we can really take away. And as I said earlier, if you're not a parent, if your kids are gone, that they've already passed through that stage of life that's living with you and under your household, please don't think this is not for you. This is definitely for you as well. As we live as a community, as we as a community engage in touching the families that don't have fathers, that this really is one for all of us to engage in and care for. So thank you for listening. Let me pray, and then we'll get on. Heavenly Father, thank you. As Pastor Ross said, we can call you Father. That you've given us the right to not just say Father in just the formal sense, but even to cry Abba, Daddy, the intimate Father. Thank you for that privilege. Thank you, Jesus, that you've given us such an example of sonship, of how to live out and be the obedient son that just embodies those characteristics of hope, of happiness and joy, of confidence, Jesus, that you've given us those things. May you indwell those things into our hearts as adults, that we can pass them on to our kids. Give us patience, give us long-suffering to not provoke our kids, to really continue to cultivate them and those characteristics in them. And Heavenly Father, be with us as kids. Be with the youngest of the young, to even us older kids that are still working with our parents and the relationships there. Give us hearts that are wanting to obey because of wanting to please you and ultimately the example that Jesus you set before us. Thank you, God, for meeting us here, for opening up the scripture to us. In your name we pray. Amen.